to the Lord once again. Father, thank you that we can gather as a small group of folks that love you and want to gather in your name, even on a busy day like today, and yet how appropriate it seems that we would be here tonight, recognizing our Savior lives. I pray that the things that we have before us would truly honor and glorify you. We have set to bring forth the things that would lift high the name of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. We want to commit this to you, thanking you for what we have before us and what you're going to give to us. Enable me that I might, in and through the power of your Spirit, say exactly what you once said and keep me from saying what ought not to be said. Well, thank you now. In your name I pray. Amen. Andrew, let's call this one the all-inclusive name. The all-inclusive name. We have been looking for a few weeks at the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Why, you say? Because we saw in our first message the Father highly exalted him, Jesus, and gave him a name which is above every name. That the name of Jesus, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. And not only every knee bow before the Lord, but get this, that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. And as we have seen, that's quite a name. That's quite an, in the words of Paul, that is a highly exalted name. It's hard to imagine that someday every knee will bow, acknowledging all glory goes to him. It's hard to imagine someday every tongue will confess that he is the Lord to the glory of his Father. When you stop and think about some of the characters that are in our world even today, some of the folks that are making news in the headlines, the things they stand for, the things they believe, you would think, boy, that guy, that woman is never going to. Yeah, they will. Sometime in the future, every. Whether they acknowledge our Lord and Savior in this life or not, someday they all will, so that God will get all the glory. Tonight I want us to just think of some additional truths from what we've seen in previous weeks. We're not going to go back and review all those different features that we have seen regarding the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. But I trust what we see this evening, it will be an additional encouragement and challenge to you as we center our thoughts on the name which is above every name, the name of our Lord Jesus. Well, note takers, number one, and you can just listen before you start writing and condense this, okay? The first point is this. As believers, we are to be mindful of our Lord in all we do. That's your first point. No wonder you said, you might want to condense it. As believers, we are to be mindful of our Lord in all we do. Let's begin with Colossians chapter 3, and we pick up at verse 12. Colossians 3, verse 12. In these verses, Paul is writing to the believers at Colossae, and he was reminding them of certain things that we as believers, as children of God, ought to be conscious of, ought to be working on, ought to be striving for. Whether you realize it or not, you know, living the Christian life is not just waking up in the morning and just seeing how the wind blows. When we get up in the morning, hopefully we are reminded that we belong to the Lord. Hopefully we want to get alone with Him sometime, spend some time in His Word, spend some time in prayer, looking to Him and asking Him, Lord, what would you have me do today? I mean, I'm your child. That's what I mean by living the Christian life is not just wake up in the morning and see how the wind blows and, well, if I do this, if I do that, well, it will. No, we need to be having a purpose. And Paul is speaking of that even to the Colossians. Look at verse 12. When he says this, verse 12, put on, therefore, as the elect of God, put on. That means work at this. Think about this. Put on. As the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even, as Christ forgave you, so also do you. And above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection or perfectness. And after we strive toward these things that he's mentioned here, let the peace of God rule in your heart. Do you do that? Do you let the peace of God rule in your heart? The thought that strikes me about that is, if you or I are worrying or being stressed out about something, we know nothing of the peace of God. Because being stressed and worried and anxious and resting in the peace of God are not on the same plate. And so perhaps verse 13, as you get up and you say, but Pastor, you don't know what I've got ahead of me today. You don't know what's been going. You don't know the struggles that's been going on in my life, the problems I'm having at work and this, that, and the other thing. No, I don't. But I know that the Lord's words through Paul to us is, let the peace of God rule in your heart. Let's perhaps make that an object of prayer. Next time we find ourselves all stressed, behind the eight ball, and we're trying to work things out that we have no control over, why not try letting the peace of God rule in your heart? And notice he says, to the which also you are called. That's something that is to be a reality for us. In one body, and be ye thankful. Here's something else. Let. That means this is a decision on your part. You can let it happen, or you can keep it from happening. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. We come to our verse under this first point. As believers, we are to be mindful of the Lord in all that we do, because in verse 17 it says here, and whatsoever you do in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Everything we do, we are to be mindful of doing this, saying this in the name of the Lord, being thankful to God for who He is. In Ephesians chapter 5, very similar to this, Paul wrote to that church in verses 19 and 20, and he said this, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing, making melody in your heart to the Lord. Yeah, that sounds just like Colossians 3:16. That's right. And what? Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Being thankful. Being mindful of the Lord. Months ago in our sermons in the morning services in 1 Corinthians, when we were in chapter 10, verse 31, a very familiar one, Paul wrote to the church at Corinth, and whatsoever you do in word or deed, we are to do what? We are to do it all to the glory of the Lord. And that's what Paul is telling the Corinthians, the Ephesians, the Colossians. As believers, we're responsible to be mindful of our Lord in all we do or say. Stop and think about that. Some of our activities, some of the things we like to pursue. Are we mindful of the Lord? Do we ask ourselves, can I really be doing this to the glory of the Lord? Or is it something that is really a mark against his name? That I, as a believer, would be saying, doing, going, being involved in. Now, this point is what? As believers, we are to be mindful of the Lord in all we do. And you know this includes our gathering together. We are to be mindful of the Lord in our gathering together. So much so, this is true, that our Lord taught us in Matthew chapter 18, verse 30, or pardon, verse 20, the very familiar verse when he said, "For where two or three are gathered together in my name, what then? There am I where? In the midst." So this first thing that I'm looking at this evening, that all-inclusive name, as believers, as we think about our lives and as we think about our responsibilities as believers, as we saw in both Ephesians and primarily in Colossians, all of those different things that we ought to be working toward and putting on and striving at in the power of the Spirit, we need to be mindful of His name. All the things we find ourselves doing, we are to be doing in the name of the Lord, giving thanks to the Father. Number two, we discover from certain places in Scripture that this name, which is above every name, Scripture teaches us, shows us that His name is consistent with answered prayer. His name is consistent with answered prayer. Before we go anywhere to Scripture, what is the almost universal way of ending a prayer? Anybody? In Jesus' name. Why? Is that just a church tradition that's been passed down for hundreds of years? Is there any basis for that? Is there anything that would suggest to us that the name of the Lord in connection to my prayer might be a winning combination? Let's look at some passages in John's Gospel. In John chapter 14, we see in verses 13 and 14 these words, "And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be honored or glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in my name, I what? Will do it." Go to the next chapter and look at verse 16 of John 15. Jesus said, "You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, then what? He may give it you," or give it to you. Wow. This sounds great. This sounds like what I've been looking for. I mean, it sounds like the Lord is saying, "I'll give you whatever you ask for." Is that what he's saying? He's saying, if you ask, I will give you what you ask in my name. Chapter 16, verse 23 and 24. "And in that day you shall ask me nothing. Truly, truly, verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you." Hitherto, up to this point, Jesus says, have you asked nothing in my name? This evidently was a new truth. Starting at John chapter 13 to the most of the rest of John's gospel, this all occurred the last night in the upper room, much of this. And it seems as though the Lord was, he had in chapter 14 spoken about, you ask in my name and you'll receive it. Chapter 15, he said the same thing. And now here in chapter 16, he said, up to now, you've never done this before. But I'm telling you, ask, verse 24, and you shall receive, that your joy may be full. What's he saying? How do we interpret this? If we ask anything in his name, he will answer that prayer as we are asking. How do we interpret that? What do we say to someone who says, well, it sounds like Jesus is saying, I mean, ask him for whatever you want and he'll just give it to you. And just close it out and say, oh, and in Jesus' name, amen. No. As we search through Scripture and look at the topic and the subject of prayer in various places, asking in his name would be simply this. It would be what we would be asking for would be that which would be, number one, consistent with his nature. If I'm asking this in Jesus' name, it would be as if Jesus himself would be asking this, but we're just asking in his name for him. We're asking in Jesus' name. So number one, what I'm asking for has to be consistent with his nature, his character. It needs to be, secondly, consistent with his ways. Consistent, number three, with his workings. What he came to accomplish. It has to be consistent, number four, with his will. His name is connected to answered prayer. But there is a condition attached with that. Just tacking on, I'm asking this in Jesus' name, does not guarantee the answer is going to come. if it's not something that is consistent with his nature, his workings, his will, his ways, we could add to what we have already seen in 1 Corinthians 10:31. Would this be to the glory of the Lord? Or would it bring dishonor and shame to the Lord and his name were he to give that to you? We need to keep in mind, yes, the Lord, that last night was teaching his disciples how to pray. And as he said, you've never had to do this before, but from now on, I want to show you this privilege that's yours as a child of mine, as a follower of mine. When you ask that which is consistent with my will, my ways, my workings, my plans, I'll answer it. I'll give it to you. Number three, as we think of the things that his name is consistent with, connected to, we see number three, his name is connected to life. His name is connected to life. What do you mean, Pastor? I'm glad you asked. John, toward the end of his gospel, in John chapter 20, verses 30 and 31, said, "And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written," what I have here in these first 20 chapters, "are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, the Son of God, and that believing that he is the Christ, believing that he is God's Son, you might have what? Life through what? When you believe in his name, when you believe in everything he has taught us about himself in his word, we discover that we have life in and through his name. Go back a few chapters in John's gospel. John chapter 14, verse 6. "Lord, we don't really know where you're going and we don't know the way." And what did the Lord answer to Thomas? "I am the way, the truth," and what? Life. What kind of life? Eternal life. Me, Jesus, I am life. And no one is coming to the Father but by me. John started his gospel, chapter 1, verse 12. "As many as received him, to them gave he power or the right to become the sons or children of God, even to" who? Those who would believe what? Believe on his name. Believing on his name is accepting the truth concerning Jesus Christ, God's only Son. As we think of this, it reminds us, it's no wonder, Luke, that being said, that there is life connected with his name. In Acts 4:12, Luke wrote, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is" what? "None other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be" or "can be" what? "Saved." There's life in the name of the Lord Jesus, when we truly accept Him, when we believe in Him. 1 John chapter 5, verse 13, we see John put it this way when he said, "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may what? Know that you have eternal life, and that you might believe on the name of the Son of God." Well, we've seen three things this evening. Mark it down. Easter Sunday evening, we got out early. How about that? The all-inclusive name. As believers, we are to be mindful of the Lord in the things that we do. Would I be ashamed if the Lord caught me doing this? If the Lord just showed up and sat next to me as I was sitting in and doing, or if He walked up and overheard me saying, as believers, we are to be mindful of the Lord in all we do. And the name of the Lord. His name is connected with answered prayer. Oh, it's not a magic formula. But when we pray, and what we are asking for is consistent with His nature. It is to His glory. It's consistent with His ways, His workings, His will. He delights in answering our prayer to the praise of the Father. And His name is connected to life. It's the only source we have of eternal life. Not Allah. Not Muhammad. But Jesus Christ, the Son of God. There's where our life is. Let's stand and we'll be dismissed in prayer. Thank you, Father, for our time tonight. Thank you for the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Thank you for the significance of that name, as we have seen for 5 or 6 messages. Things connected with that. Demons tremble at the sound of your name. The dead have been brought to life, back to life, through the proclamation of that name. We find, Father, that there are so many things. We've learned that this name is worth suffering for. This name is worth dying for. Help us to live for that name. And thank you for the things we've seen this evening. Dismiss us with your blessing. Take us safely to our homes as we rejoice on this Resurrection Sunday. In your name, I pray. Amen.